And so if we can pay attention to what the Holy Spirit has for us, it can make a difference in our lives. That's a wonderful thing. Now, I began several weeks ago. This is session number 5 on the subject, but in my first few lessons, I gave my standard disclaimer. And my disclaimer is simply this: don't be offended by anything that I say. I have to tell the truth. I have to teach what's in the book. Amen. But if by chance it gets close to home, then take what the Holy Spirit has for you. We're not interested in where you've been in your past. What only matters is what you're going to do today and tomorrow. Amen. What you're going to do with God's Word. So, if we get close to home and it sort of stings a little bit, just smile, look straight ahead, nobody will know it's you. Amen? Amen. But it's important. Now, in the first few sessions, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about God's purpose and plan for the family. He is the manufacturer, so if we want to know how things should work, we should refer to the owner's manual. Amen. That is our Bible. And we also talked about the fact that love should be the foundation for everything that we do. All of our relationships should be based on the God kind of love, agape love. Amen. And then we spent a couple weeks talking about S-E-X, sex. God invented it. It was His idea. And so sex was designed to be enjoyed within the confines of a marriage relationship. And if you are engaged in sexual activity outside of a marriage relationship, you're outside of God's plan, period. That's what the Bible teaches. And so there are certain things that as believers we need to avoid. And as I said earlier, what God is concerned about is your life. Amen. And He wants your life to be rich, and He wants it to be blessed. Amen. Now, over the years, as I have counseled couples, and I've done a lot of it, there are three main areas where most marriage relationships and relationships in general encounter problems. These are the big three. They are money, sex, and communication. And I have unfortunately counseled with couples where they were having an issue with money, they were having an issue with sex, and they were having an issue with communication. And I had a couple once, and I asked them, you know, basically, you know, as a counselor, you have to be honest with people. And I asked them straight out, I know you're having a problem with money that's causing a stress and a strain on your relationship. How's your sexual relationship? Oh, we're not having sex. Okay. I said, are you guys talking? Well, they were talking, but not talking with each other. They were talking past each other. And so they were missing on all cylinders. It was just amazing. They were really in trouble. They were really in trouble. But thank God their marriage has never been better. Today they're doing well. And so I always endeavor to help people in these areas. But we're going to talk about communication today. And we'll begin with John chapter 15. Keep in mind the foundational scripture that we use for the series, Proverbs 24:3, where it says, through wisdom is a house builded. That word house means life or family. And by understanding it is established. And by knowledge, everybody say knowledge, shall all the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So what you know makes a difference. And what you don't know can hurt you. You know, we used to have this axiom in the world that said, you know, what you don't know can't hurt you. Wrong. What you don't know can get you killed. And the same thing is true when it comes to spiritual things. If you're not aware of biblical principles and you do not understand them and apply them, then you will suffer the consequences because you don't know. Remember, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. What they don't know is causing them problems. And so my job as a pastor is to give you the information and give it to you in such a way that you can use it. All right? It's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's another thing to know how to do it. Now, notice John chapter 15. And we'll start with verse 12. John 15, 12. Notice that the letters in your Bible are probably red. That means Jesus said this. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, I'm in John chapter 14. Let me go over to 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another, notice this, as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. From now on, or henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I've made known unto you. Now, there's a very important key here. Jesus, in talking to his disciples and ultimately to us, said that his commandment was this, that we love one another, notice the qualifier, as he has loved us. And so that is agape love. That is a love that is without conditions and expects nothing in return. That is the way that we are supposed to love each other. Now, if we're supposed to love each other that way, don't you think that we should at least love our spouse that way? At least we should love our husbands and wives that way. At least we should love somebody that we're considering marrying that way. And so agape is the foundation for relationships. It is the God kind of love. And as I said in one of the earlier lessons, you know, there are many English words for love. I should have said it this way. There are many Greek words for love, but one English word, love. But in the Greek, there are many different words that mean many different things. And so when somebody says, I love you, you're going to have to ask some questions and find out what did they really mean. It's not likely that they mean what Jesus was talking about here. That you love one another as I have loved you. And I always use the illustration of Slick Willie down at the tavern when he says, baby, I love you. He doesn't mean what Jesus was talking about here. Are you with me? Would you agree with that? Probably not. He's probably thinking on another level. All right? So you have to probe a little bit and find out where people are really, really coming from. Now, here's something else that I want you to see. Jesus said this. Now, pay attention to this. He said, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I'm taking of mine and I'm going to reveal it to you. And he prefaced that with this. You are my, this is my modern English translation, you're my friends. And so I'm going to share everything with you. I'm not referring to you as servants, but friends. Now, what's the difference? A servant doesn't know what his Lord is doing, but the Lord wants us to know what he's doing. And so he's giving us free access to information. Everything that God has, he is willing to share with us as the church. Amen. Now, when we looked at relationships in Ephesians chapter 5, men were commanded to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we have a standard for the relationship between a husband and wife, and that is the way Jesus loves the church. That's the standard. See, the standard for your marriage relationship is not your mama and your daddy. Because odds are, your mommy and daddy, maybe they didn't do it right. You know what I mean? It's not your grandma and grandpa. Now, my grandmother and my grandfather set a great example for me. Before my grandfather went to be with the Lord, he and my grandmother had been married 73 years. He went to be with the Lord when he was 94. 73 years. And when they had been married less than 48 years, my grandfather, at 12 years old, started teaching me about marriage. And he called me Davy, and he called me Boy, and all the things that grandpas call the grandsons. But he took the time, as a man, to sit me down and teach me some things about how to treat a woman. My grandfather did that. My daddy did not. And my daddy didn't know how. Because he'd basically raised himself from the time he was 12 years old. He was a military policeman. He was a rough and tough guy, liked to drink, liked to fight. And he'd fight anybody, male or female. He didn't care. Are you with me? And that really caused a strain on my parents' relationship. And after 15 years of abuse, my mother finally left. And I was glad. You know why? Because I knew one morning I wouldn't wake up and find somebody dead. It was a relief. Listen, I know the Bible says a lot about divorce and remarriage. Divorce is never God's plan. But It is unscriptural for you as a woman to stay in a relationship that is abusive like that. You need to get out of there. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Now, I'm as old school as you get, but I'm not one of these dum-dums who tells a woman who's being abused, well, honey, he's your husband. You know, you got... No, 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 no. God did not call you to get your head beat in. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. I mean, if I was a female, all you'd have to do is hit me once. And it's on. But what I'm saying is, I'm not going to stay there and take that. God does not expect you to. All right? Can you say amen with that, ladies?
Amen.
All right. Now, the better thing for you to do as a Christian woman is to be led by the Spirit of God, because He'll warn you about people. He'll alert you to character traits that you don't need to be involved with. And sometimes we're so hung up on other stuff, we miss what the Holy Spirit's saying on the inside. And you got this scratchy feeling on the inside, something just ain't right. You better listen to that. That's the Lord trying to get your attention. But God, He's got a nice car. Who cares? You know, anybody can buy a car. You with me? Well, He lives in a nice house. So what? You know, He's got a good job. He better. Okay. Oh, boy, I could go a lot of different places here. Let me stick to what I'm talking about. All right, we're in John chapter 15. Turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. We're talking about communication. It's one of the major areas where some relationships encounter problems. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, beginning with verse 12. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, Jesus is letting us know that even though He is gone and seated at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit has come to make known everything that God has in store for us. And He does that in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus reveals it. And so, God is not holding anything back from you. Neither is the Lord Jesus holding anything back from you. There is an open door and a free flow of information. The same thing should be true in a marriage relationship. You need to have good communication. It is the life's blood of a relationship. Now listen to this carefully. Many times when a couple is in enduring money problems, those can be solved if you'll communicate properly. Many times if a couple is in enduring sexual problems, those can be overcome if you'll communicate properly. But if you're not talking to each other, you're in trouble. That is the life's blood of a relationship. And I said talking to, not talking past each other. Now, we're going to get into some good stuff today. So it's important that we have open, honest, frank communication. Almost every couple that I counsel, I always ask them one question. Are you guys communicating? You're setting aside time to talk? And you know what the answer normally is? No. Because you know what? Both people are busy. They're coming and going and dealing with all this stuff. You got to deal with the job. You got to deal with the kids. You got to deal with all the other stuff. And they're not making time for each other. So one of my recommendations is that you always set aside a time, at least once a week, where it's just you two together and you're talking. You with me?
Amen.
You're sharing. You're talking about the things that you need to address. So you need to have open, honest, frank communication. You need to set aside time to talk. You know why people don't do it? Because it's uncomfortable. Especially when there's an area of disagreement. It's uncomfortable. I mean, who likes pain? Who likes to talk about, well, I don't want to say anything because I know he always gets mad when I bring it up. Well, somebody needs to grow up. Okay? Somebody needs to grow up, put on your big boy pants, And don't get upset when somebody says something to you that you don't like. Are you with me? You need to be mature enough where you're not offended when your spouse says something to you. And what happens is now you start bringing up all the other times that you were offended and all the bad stuff that they said to you. And now it's sort of like, you're playing the dozens. You know what I mean when I say that? Well, you said this. Well, you said that. And you did this. And you did that. I had a couple sitting in my office one time. And they started going at it. And I just sat there and let them go at it. Normally, I don't do that. But in this case, Holy Spirit said, "No, let them go." And they went at it. Now, for 2 hours, they went at it. And I said, "You know what? You guys are not talking to each other. You're talking past each other. And all they're doing is hurling accusations. Well, you did this, and you did that. Well, you did that, and you did this, and you did that." It was like 2 6-year-olds, you know? I thought, wait a minute, you guys. You're not talking to each other. All you're doing is hurling up all this stuff from the past. Well, to be mature in a loving relationship, remember, Jesus said that you love one another as I have loved you. Here's the thing about agape love. God does not bring up every mistake you've ever made. In fact, He does just the opposite. He said, "If you'll come to Me, I'll take your sins and separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be brought up again." Amen. Now, I don't care how far you go east, you'll never run into west because they're in opposite directions. But yet in marriage relationships, we hang on to stuff. But you know what? That's not the love of God, because agape takes no account of a suffered wrong, or it does not keep score. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's in your Bible too. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. So if we're going to have open, honest, frank communication, we need to control our feelings. We need to be motivated by love. We need to be teachable. Everybody say teachable. You know why that's important? Because there are some people who think they know everything. You know? And you can't tell them nothing. Oh, shut up. That's a recipe for disaster. I mean, that happened in the Bible. We looked at Abraham. Remember, we looked back when Sarah said, "Look, I want Hagar and her son out of my house." And the Bible says this thing grieved Abraham and he wouldn't do it. And then a little later on, the Lord got a hold of Abraham and said this to him. "Listen to what Sarah's told you to do and do it all. Do what she told you to do." Now, as a man, you know you're in trouble when God gets on your case and said, "You better listen to your wife." Now, if you're mature in Christ, you'll learn to listen. That's why God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth, so that you would listen more than you talk. Are you with me? Now, I realize that's tough for guys, men. You know why? Because we're wired differently than women. It's just a fact. Men are headliners. Call a guy up and say, "What'd you do today?" "Man, I went to work." That's not what she meant. Women are detail-oriented. They want to know, "What'd you do at work? Who'd you talk to? Who'd you call? Blah, 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 blah." Are you with me? And so as a man, you have to be willing to share the details. All right? As a woman, you have to understand that men aren't wired that way to go into detail into everything. And so you have to be willing to not want to know every little detail. Amen? That's tough, isn't it, Michelle? She's, "Oh, that's hard." Yeah? We're just wired differently. And so we have to understand that. Now, listen. It is important that you spend time communicating. It's the life's blood of any relationship. Especially if you're considering marrying somebody, you better spend a lot of time communicating and talking with them. All right? You need to talk about your interests. You need to talk about your goals. You need to talk about your money. You need to talk about children. You need to talk about these things. I've been in counseling situations where, you know, there's a family about to break up, and I find out what the real cause of the problem is, and, you know, the woman wants to have children, and the man doesn't want any. And I'm thinking, "Gee, did you guys talk about this before you got married?" "No." "Don't you think that's important?" You know? And I remember years ago, one of the deans of the Bible college that I attended had a young man who was all excited, and he went to Dr. Stewart, and he says, you know, Doc Stewart, he says, I found the girl of my dreams, I'm getting married. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, how long have you known her? He said, well, I've known her about a month. He said, oh, really? He said, have you spent a lot of time talking with her? Did you know about her before? No, we just met. And he says, well, does she know that you're in Bible college training to be a minister? Well, no. He said, don't you think you ought to share that with her? He said, yeah. Yeah, this kid was as green as they come. And so the next day he met his fiance and shared, you know, I'm going into ministry. I'm in Bible college. She cussed him out and told him to go to hell. Last thing she would do is marry a preacher. True story. Cussed him out. Told him, go to hell. Well, I think they missed a few things in their conversations there. But these are things that are really important that you need to share before you get to that point in a relationship. So you need to invest time in each other. That's important. Invest time in each other. And here's a principle that I'll share with you, and it's called this. It's called the law of attention. And the law of attention simply dictates this. Your body will desire whatever you spend a lot of time paying attention to. It will. Your desires follow your attention. So if you give your attention to your husband or your wife instead of something or someone else, your desires will follow. It's just the way it is. Now, when I said body, I meant your desires. And you know, granted, we all have physical urges, but you need to control those things. Okay? Each one of us should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. That simply means we need to own our flesh, not vice versa. Don't let the body run the show. You run the show. Okay? But communication is important. Now, in communication, here are some things that we need to realize. There are times in communication where you can do more harm than good if you're not walking in love. Now, I'll give you an example. Here's an article that I read just but last week by Beth Jones. Beth Jones writes that series, Getting a Grip on the Basics, that we use for our new members class. And we've studied it on Wednesday nights, Getting a Grip on the Basic of Healing and Health, Getting a Grip on the Basics of Prosperity. And in fact, Victor, we met her the last time we were in Tulsa. Beth was on the same flight with us. But she said this. She said, one of my favorite things to do in the summer is to make a fire in a little pit in our backyard. And there's something about sitting around a bonfire, watching the flames, roasting marshmallows, and smelling like campfire smoke. She said, a bonfire is only as good as the last log. When the last log burns up, the fire goes out. Now, this simple truth will save us a lot of grief in personal relationships if we'll listen. When you see the fire started by strife, gossip, anger, resentment, or an argument, don't throw a log on the fire. As you know, this is not always the easiest thing to do. When we find ourselves in the throes of a relational bonfire, we can't allow ourselves to throw more wood on a fire with our own little comments, comebacks, opinions, snide remarks, or sarcasm. You're just adding fuel to the fire. So if you don't add any wood, that bonfire will die an early death. So the next time you're in the mood for a bonfire, light your fireplace or go out in the backyard and build one. Don't throw wood on a relational bonfire. I have a pastor friend who said this one time. We go into every situation with gasoline in one hand and water in the other. And we have the potential to make that situation blow up, or we can take that water and douse those flames. It just depends on what you want to do with it. And so you have to learn how to communicate effectively without getting your feelings hurt, without getting into a fight or an argument. Are you with me? And talk like an adult, a Christian adult, about the things that you have to share. All right? And if you can maintain good communication, you can squash a lot of the other stuff that causes people to stumble. Now, here are some things I'd like you to write down. And here are some things that we need to understand about marriage and about communication. Number one, when it comes to communicating, I have a couple that I'm marrying this Saturday here at the church, and they just went through my counseling course, and these people have been together for a long time. And so in my last session, I was talking about the power of words. We're talking about the vows that they're going to commit to each other. We have to understand this. Wedding vows are commitments that we make for life, not just for convenience. These are lifetime commitments that we give with our words. Number two, our focus as either a husband or a wife should be on the health of our relationship. See, all the other stuff that you have to deal with, you can replace that, but you can't replace your spouse. I mean, you can go get another one, but that's not that person. Are you with me? And that's a problem with our culture today. We don't like one, so we go get another one. And you end up in a worse situation than you were before. Amen. If you don't do it God's way. Amen. All right? So the focus of your relationship should be on the health of your relationship. Number three. Remember we talked about how wisdom a house is built by understanding and by knowledge? Good intentions aren't enough. You might need to gain some additional skill so that you can make your marriage relationship work. All right, you might need to read a book. You might need to listen to a series. You might need to talk to somebody and gain the tools necessary to make your relationship work. Learn some skills. Listening is one of them. I had to learn years ago how to listen to people. Because many times if we're not careful, we know what they're going to say, or we think we do. And what we do is we tune them out, or we finish their sentences for them. That's not communication. I have found that many times, especially when people are upset, you can diffuse the situation if you'll just listen. Okay? It's when you don't listen to people that you have problems. But if you're willing to listen to them, even if you don't agree, many times you can instead of throwing gasoline, you're putting water on the bonfire. All right? Number four, follow biblical instructions as though they were authoritative. In other words, God's word has final authority. Do what the Bible says. Or Jesus loved the church in such a way that we're supposed to follow his example. Love one another as I have loved you. So find out how Jesus loved people and do it. Do it. That's a simple thing to do. All right? Now, here's some other things you need to recognize about communication. Then I'll tell you what number five is. Guys, you ready for this? Here's something you need to know. Men communicate to exchange information. But women many times communicate to feel close. All right? Men communicate to exchange information. Women communicate to feel close. So, let me ask you this. You want to be close to your spouse? So what are you going to have to do? Learn to listen. Learn to communicate, right? Be willing to invest the time to talk. Instead of just saying, hey, how you doing? And boom, boom, you go your separate ways. That's not communication. All right? You have to invest time in each other. That's important. Because women communicate to feel close. Here's number five. When it comes to, really, you could apply this to marriage in general. And this is a good thing. You know, at the end of your life, the bottom line is you want your spouse to say, boy, I'm glad I was married to him. Or I'm glad I was married to her. You know? Instead of saying, boy, thank God they're gone. It happens. It happens. And as I've said, your marriage can be the closest thing to heaven that you experience on this earth. But you have to have the tools to make it work right. Here's some other comments about communication. Here's a guy named Peter Drucker said this. The most important thing in communication is to hear what isn't being said. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever had somebody share something with you, but that's not really what they want to tell you? They want to tell you something else? Or they're trying to communicate something else? The key to getting that something else out of them is taking the time to listen and asking the right questions instead of just turning them off, okay? Ask the right questions, because many times people won't come right out and tell you what they want to say. And that's all I'll say about that. Here's another one. The key to successful communication is clarity, not verbosity. Verbosity. That's how you say that. Verbose. You know what a verbose person is? I like to talk a lot. Okay, a lot of y'all are verbose. You're sitting out there all quiet now, but, you know, get you on the phone, girl, you go 90 miles an hour. But when it comes to communication, it's not the volume of words that matters. It's the clarity of what you say. All right? And so I have learned over the years to be honest in my communication. If I don't like something, I'm going to tell you. Okay, that doesn't mean I have to be obnoxious and rude, but I'm going to tell you. Or if there's some information that I need to know, I'm going to ask you. You know, you can be bold without being obnoxious. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to be rude and ugly, but you need to be honest in your communication. Ask the right questions, and you'll get the right answers many times. I've had people ask me questions, and I'll tell you this story. One time I had a businessman call me from Florida, and he asked me a very specific question about his business, and I had the answer. I didn't have to look it up. I knew it in my head, and I gave him the answer. Well, when I gave him the answer, this guy went ballistic. What? You mean to tell me blah, 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 blah? And I'm just listening on the other end of the phone. And then he stopped, and he said, Bill Young? I said, yeah. He said, it took a big man to tell me what you just told me. And you know what I said to him? I said, if you don't know what's broke, you can't fix it. I know what's broke. And you know what? That was the last thing I ever heard about it. Never brought it up again, because he knew I knew my stuff. And when he asked me that question, I had two choices. Give him the truthful answer or try to dance a little bit. Try to evade the question. Try to, you know, gently. Well, what's the point? Eventually you're going to have to fess up anyway. And so I just told him, oh, I know exactly what the number is. And I told him what the number was, and he hit the ceiling. And then he realized, you know what? This guy was honest with me. And I told him, I said, I know what it is, but I also know how to fix it. But if I didn't know what was wrong, how am I going to fix it? And the same thing is true in your relationships. If you don't know what's wrong, how are you going to fix it? So you're going to have clarity in your relationships. Now, how do you have and maintain good communication in a marriage relationship? That is simply done by spending time with each other, not doing other stuff, but focusing on each other and just plain talking. Amen. Or you could say it like this, we need to talk. You know, most men don't like to hear that. When a woman says, we need to talk, you're like, uh-oh. My father-in-law, precious guy, Elder Carr, I remember years ago, this only happened to me twice. He came to me, he says, we need to talk. I'm like, uh-oh, what'd I do? You know what I mean? And that's the way we're wired many times. But we had a good conversation, and there was nothing out of kilter, but he just wanted to let me know how he felt about certain things. I'm like, fine, that's great. I'm glad you took the time to tell me that. I appreciate it. You know, now I can have that relationship with him without anything blocking or being in the middle or hindering us. You know what I mean? Because he's made everything clear to me, so I can see clearly where he's coming from, what he expects, and where he wants to go. And we got to be willing to be honest with people. And sometimes we're not honest with people because we don't want to lose them. Well, if that thing is going to cause you to lose them, you need to lose them. I mean, we're living for God here. You know, He has the right person for you. If that's what you want, are you with me? But you got to be honest. And many times in relationships, we know there are things that are not right, and we're not willing to fess up and talk about them. In my premarital counseling course, I make people talk about these things. You know, and one of the questions I ask is, are there any areas in your relationship where you're having strife? Or I'll ask them, are there any things in the you see in the person you're thinking about marrying that you don't like? Or that you would like to see changed? That's always a big one. Okay? And I make them list them and talk about them. And then we talk about it right in front of each other. And many times I'll tell people, listen, here are the things you don't like. Let me give you a revelation. They ain't changing. They're not changing. Are you willing to live with these? You with me?
Amen.
And as long as you know up front, okay? Because most people don't change, especially the older you are, okay? I mentioned Valerie and I, we're getting married soon. It's coming faster and faster and sooner. But one of the things that I told Valerie early on in our relationship was, I don't want you to change. Because the girl's 50-some years old. I'm 50. I ain't changing. Neither is she. And so if I don't like the way she is and what she does, why would I marry her? But I like what I see. I like what she does. I like the way she is. And so you have to be honest with people. I said, don't you change a thing. You know, because people now all of a sudden have this, oh, you're going to be a pastor's wife. You got to dress different and act different. No, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't. No place in the book does it say that. Okay? And so you have to be honest with people. Right up front. If I wanted her to change some things, I'd have said it. But I didn't. Don't have to. Are you with me?
Amen.
I don't like talking when people aren't here. I'd rather they were here, but, you know. But anyway, God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
All right? So communication, it's the key. For those of you who are married or considering getting married, spend a lot of time talking with each other. It's the life's blood of your relationship. If you're involved with somebody in a godly relationship, spend a lot of time talking with them. And take the rose-colored glasses off. If you don't like what you hear, if you don't like what they're involved with, if you don't like what they believe, if you don't like what they want, run, Forrest, run! Run! Because it ain't changing. Don't be stupid. Oh, I can't tell you how many times, especially when I was in Missouri. Oh, Lord have mercy. You're in St. Louis, and you're counseling all these women. And, you know, they met a guy, come to church for a month, and all of a sudden they're in love, you know. And they come, oh, Pastor Bill, blah, 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 blah. You haven't known him any time at all. You haven't spent a lot of time communicating. Then, you know, I have them start talking. They start talking, come back, and say, well, you know, I don't like this, I don't like that. You know, he does drugs once in a while, he does this, he does that. I said, listen, is he willing to, you got to realize he's not going to change. You know, a lot of times they wouldn't be willing to talk to me, the guys. And I said, he's not going to change. Well, I believe the Lord will change him. You're wrong. Wake up. Okay? And I know people do change, but it's rare. You just have to be honest. Listen, the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life, other than what you do with Jesus, is who you marry. That's a big one. So we need to have open, honest communication. Get to know the person you're involved with, okay? So you can really, really understand them, know where they're coming from, and that way your relationship will be based on biblical truth and love instead of all the stuff you didn't want to take the time to talk about. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, I'm done for the day. Would you stand with me, please? So it is important that we not be so busy in life that we don't take time to talk.